Well, good morning to you all. We had several good prayers. We trust the Lord's presence is here. And thank you for this last song. It ties in many ways with the few thoughts I have this morning. It's a hard message, the gospel is. And it is not popular. The gospel is not intended to make any person popular in this world. And what I'm about to share is not intended to be balanced. It is purposely off balance, primarily for its shock value. This is not a message that has a bunch of statistics in it. This is not going to make me popular for sharing this. So hopefully you can look past me. These are a few thoughts that have been going through my head over the last several weeks. And when I was asked to have an opening message last week, I didn't have anything nice to share. I didn't feel like. And I didn't have anything until this morning. I kept thinking about it. And those of you who know me well know that I don't do well speaking publicly. These are a few thoughts that came to me over the course of the past few weeks, culminating in a message that I heard John D. Martin preach that I listened to at work. And I trust that we can all be challenged and blessed together. With that being said, consider again verse 2 in the last song we just sang. May we all so love each other and all selfish claims deny that the brother for the brother will not hesitate to die. Even so, our Lord has loved us. For our lives he shed his blood. Still he grieves and still he suffers when we mar the brotherhood. If these things that we're going to talk about this morning are not in place, we will not be able to do what we sang in verse 2 of this last song. So, thank you for this song. In James 5, verses 1 through 6, I'm going to be reading out of the Tyndale's Bible this morning, so bear with me. Verses 5, 1 through 6, it says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl on your wretchedness that shall come upon you. Your riches is corrupt, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and your silver are cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness unto you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together in your last days. Behold the hire of the laborers which have reaped down your fields. Which hire is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and in wantonness." That means excess, excessive excess. "Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." Think about pigs eating on their last day. They just keep right on going. "Ye have condemned and have killed the just, and he," that is the just, "he hath not resisted you." The title for the few thoughts today is, "What does my money say about me?" Coming from the text being verse 3 of this passage. "And the rest of them shall be a witness unto you," or against you. We have went through Luke as a family and are currently most of the way through Acts within the last month or so. And in Luke we read these words, "And he lifted up his eyes," chapter 6, 20. "He lifted up his eyes upon his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be satisfied. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men hate you and thrust you out of their company and rail on you and abhor your name as an evil thing for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye then and be glad, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. After this manner their fathers entreated the prophets. But woe be to you that are rich, for ye have therein your consolation, or your comfort, or your reward. Woe be to you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe be to you that now laugh, for ye shall wail and weep. Woe be to you when all men praise you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which wrongfully trouble you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy gown, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, so do ye to them likewise. If ye love them which love you, what thank are ye worthy of? For the very sinners love their lovers or friends. And if ye do for them which do for you, what thank are ye worthy of? For the very sinners do even the same. If ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks shall ye have? For the very sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Wherefore, love ye your enemies, do good and lend, looking for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unkind and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. In chapter 9, 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross on him daily and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what shall it advantage a man to win the whole world if he lose himself or run in damage of himself? For whosoever is ashamed of me and of my sayings, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his own glory and in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Recently I had a customer who wouldn't pay. You have to know the situation to appreciate it. He is a long distance trucker. His grown daughter lives with them with her children. They have a large dog in the house. Their front lawn is full of dog bombs to dodge as you walk towards the house. His late 70s aluminum bus breaker panel started to smoke and catch fire last December. After calling out the fire department that night, he called me the next morning and begged with me to come down and repair or replace as necessary, and I had previously worked for his mother without any risk. He asked about payment terms and seemed willing to pay up front. However, I don't normally bill up front since I do my billing on the computer, and so far that has seemed to work out okay, and I told him so. However, 60 days came and went, and I started to feel taken advantage of. What would you do? One of the last conversations I had with him consisted of these same words, and my last text to him, and in case you wonder, he did pay then just this week. My last words and text to him were, just curious if you meant what you told me Saturday. What if I would have treated you like this when I told you I would come down and take care of your panel problems? You've told me several times now that you will pay. I really would like to close my books from last year and get my taxes done. I would appreciate your help. Thanks. Is there anything wrong with this text? Would Jesus have sent that text? These are some of the questions that have been going through my mind. Money talks. What will yours say at the end of your life? For the last several months, I've been working in a nearby town. The young couple building the house has been very nice to work for and with. He has a good paying job, and she is a stay-at-home mom with 3 to 4 children, with one in school. So far, so good. wonderful people, nice, clean work. What could be wrong? Consider these facts. This construction project is in the snobby, uppity part of the town where the neighbors text each other whenever anyone, including tradesmen, show up in the neighborhood. Their house is impractical from a kingdom view in light of pilgrimage. There's an 18-foot ceiling in the great room and dining room. It has a grand staircase, etc. They have literally asked for and received every option. And they paid me every time. That's not my point. So I'm working on Finnish electrical and cutting in recessed jam switches in one of their many closets and listening to a message on money and the kingdom. And suddenly it all comes home to me. I have several very well-to-do repeat customers. I have helped several of them either redecorate existing houses or build new additions or houses. Some of these people you would know well. What is it about me that these people feel comfortable with having me there in their mansions without them even being at home? What is it about me that they feel comfortable spending their money on their house and call themselves believers and even have stirring spiritual conversations with me, and yet I don't seem to be a rebuke to their conscience? Is it wrong for a kingdom Christian to install lighting fixtures, appliances, flat screens, or audio systems that cost thousands of dollars that are for nothing more than fulfilling the lust of the customer's flesh? What would you say to these things when you could really use this income to pay your own bills? These are questions. What about my bills? Consider this verse in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Ye know the liberality of our Lord Jesus Christ, which though he were rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. How many things am I paying off that I really could do without? How much more could I have put into the offering last Sunday for the medical needs we collected for if I didn't have some of the bills I do? Does it make sense for me or my family to take a trip out west or east if I know there is a need in our fellowship or a sister fellowship? Would it be better to put my hard-earned vacation money in the hospital fund or to give for another's enjoyment instead of spending it on myself? How should I look at believers who have medical needs that are not covered because they are not paying into a health share plan? How is my dependence on a plan like this any different from depending on insurance if I cannot then turn and help others with legitimate needs because they honestly cannot afford to be on a plan like this? What if I generously help others with a need like this, but still think thoughts along these lines? Is making a living a goal in itself? An oft-quoted passage from 2 Thessalonians 3:7 through 12, ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves inordinately among you, neither took we bread of any man for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, because we would not be grievous to any of you. Not but that we had authority, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For when we were with you, this we warned you of, that if there were any which would not work, that same should not eat. We have heard say, no doubt, that there are some which walk among you inordinately, and walk not, and work not at all, but are busy bodies. Them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. And Ephesians 4:28. This is all supporting our good work ethic. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather labor with his hands some good thing that he may have to give unto him that needeth. I have used that verse over and over. We need to work. That's not my point. What do we do with it later? And I ask these questions. These are questions I've been asking myself. These are questions that have been bothering me some. Does my choice of occupation provide for better family life, or does it mostly provide work for myself and or others and only a better living for my family? Does my choice of occupation prevent any of my brothers who work with me or for me from attending church functions or activities because they need to keep working so that the wheels of my operation do not slow or stop? Do I overcommit my business or time to the point where I cannot leave my business to spend time in the Word or with God's people? Do I spend money on items I don't really need because they are legitimate tax write-offs instead of taking the loss at the hands of the tax man and giving the extra to someone who can use it to provide for serious physical needs in their family? Does my choice of a hobby or pastime constantly cost me money and resources? Does my hobby or pastime benefit only me, or does it also have a benefit built in for others? Do I enjoy fine dining? If so, is there anything wrong with that? Luke 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared deliciously every day. Do I replace my vehicles because I need to or because of social status? How should I relate to Christians who do not practice a kingdom view of resources? Here's my disclaimer. What do I mean by these questions? In case you wondered, most of these questions are directed at me and my own family. They are born out of listening to different brothers in the fellowship, from my customers and scriptures I have heard or read. And there's many more questions that could be added to these lists. Does Jesus really mean what he says, or do we tell him what to say to us? Does our money or lack thereof speak well of us and the gospel, or will it testify against us at the last day? I have no big beef with spending time with family on a vacation, especially if it can be integrated with something larger than just a dedicated vacation. I have nothing against a useful pastime or a hobby that blesses your family or others in the fellowship. If my hobby costs me yearly what it costs others for several house payments, I do have questions. I'm afraid this won't make me very popular or anyone else that talks about these things, and you can question my motives for asking these questions. Know this, I don't harbor animosity toward anyone in this room. I've been thinking about these things for quite a while, and I don't lean towards communal living, in case you wonder. They're just questions. They're questions for me. This message that I'm referring to from John D., we're going to either try to, I'm not sure we'll have it out today, but I think it would be good for us. It's part of a study in the book of James from the passage we read previously. That's really all I have, and that's my meditation for today. It's some questions. I'm sorry. It's not very encouraging. It's just something, when I was asked to share, it was on my heart. I guess that's one of the things that was on my heart. So thank you for listening.